Praise the Lord. I want to touch like two or three things, and we'll see how far the Lord takes us. Eh? Praise the Lord. Okay. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 9. Eh? The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1 and verse 9. Now, before I come to this, one of the first things that I want you to be very, very conscious of is the understanding that nothing on the face of this earth is random. Huh? You think you know what that means? You think you know what that means? Nothing on the face of this earth is random. Not the friends that you have, not the current situation that you are in, not where you were born, not the season in which you were born. Nothing on this earth is random. Absolutely nothing. The knowledge of that will set you ahead major steps. Nothing on the face of this earth is random. Not the day that you were born. And I've showed you before that despite the circumstances of your birth, it was not random. So, even if your mother, there was a delay in the due date, it wasn't random. Even if you are a pre-birth, you appeared before your time, in quotes, it is not random. Even the day is not, it's not random, the day that you were born. And I've taught this before, that in Acts chapter 17, it talks about how the boundaries of our habitation were chosen before the foundations of the earth. So God determined the boundaries of our habitation. Everything about you, your skin color, all that is not random. Even the place that you were birthed into played a role in shaping your character, because character you are not born with. Okay? Character is shaped as a result of the environment that you come into. And character can change if environment changes. Okay? So, even initially, the place that you were born into played a very vital role in shaping your character, which is also not random for a season. Even the moving from one place to another to change your character and how you deal with things is not random. The days and the periods in which you are attacked, your breakthroughs, they are not random. There's nothing on the face of this earth that is random. First of all, when it comes to natural things, eclipses, the rising of the sun, the setting of the same, when it comes to rain, snow, seasons, they are not random. They come as a result of laws that were placed on the face of this earth. All right? Then there are things that appear on this earth because certain men and women have postured themselves a particular way and made something to manifest. Praise the living God. Nothing is random. Not even the day that you die. The day that you die, the amount of time you live on this earth, the Bible says that there's an appointed time of death. It is appointed for each man to die once, then thereafter judgment. And I've taught you before that it's very possible for someone to outlive their day of death. And I gave you examples in scripture when I said that, for example, the Bible says, honor your father and mother and you shall have long life. Okay? Just that can elongate your time on this life.
Also, the Bible says that the fool dies before his time. So you can die before your time. Then you can die on the day that was appointed for you. You're with me so far? Even though a person dies before their time, or elongates the amount of time they have on this earth, they tap into principles of longevity. It is not random. They've tapped into a law, or they've disobeyed one. Okay? And it affects, it creates the results thereof. Now, I've also taught you that in Genesis chapter 1, God created man. And the Bible says in verse 27 that, take me there, Genesis 1, 27. We'll come back to this. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. There's something here that I don't want to go into. It would take me away. So in Genesis 1, 27, he creates man. In Genesis chapter 2, he now physically involves himself in the process of creating man. But first the thing happened in the spirit, then it happens in the physical, in the natural. Now, when he made man out of elements. And I taught you what those elements are. If you've been paying attention, I told you that when man was created, man was made out of earth, was made out of wind or breath or air, was made out of fire. Man was made out of, what else? Huh? Water. But also there's another element called word. Okay? Now, what I'm telling you is extremely important. So those are five elements. There are others. There is sound, there is light, but for today I won't touch those. Eh? Now, God makes man through those five major elements, the most important of which is word. Now, he picks the dust of the ground, shapes man. Okay? Breathes into him a spirit. That's the breath. That spirit then, when it enters and forms a soul, we'll get to that, forms a soul, man has a candle within him. Eh? The Bible says the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. Eh? Then man is 70% water, and man was shaped by word. Now, when someone dies, he goes through a process. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Give me the KJV. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return. Okay, they're almost the same. Okay, I'm looking for the version. You look for it that says, dust shall return to dust. Now, before your body returns to dust, there are processes. Okay? First and foremost, the spirit returns to its maker before the body returns to earth. Okay? Okay. Number two, because that's the breath. Eh? Number two, the fire is put out. When the spirit leaves the fire, that candle, it has gone. It's no longer inside there. The body loses heat. It's now cold. Okay? Now, and I'm really jumping a lot of processes. Eh? There are things that have to happen. The silver cord breaks. When that silver cord breaks, that spirit can go and never be able to come back. Eh? Alright? Now, there are various processes that happen before a person actually comes to this place where dust returns to dust. The most vital thing keeping a man alive is the word of God. Because when God made man, he made him spirit, soul, body. Spirit came from God. Body was shaped by the elements that I've just mentioned. And soul was a combination of the body and the spirit creating it. It's like getting black and white and creating gray. Alright? So, because the soul is a combination of the body and the spirit coming together, it can be influenced by either. Your soul can be predominantly influenced by the body, the flesh, or by the Spirit, because it's a combination. You're with me so far? Okay? Now, the Bible then says that even though God created man, spirit, soul, body, it says he breathed into him a breath of life. But that breath of life was not the only life that he received. There was a life that was in the blood, as I've taught you before. Because the Bible says that Leviticus 17:11, the life of every creature is in its blood. All right? So, even when a person dies, the blood begins to change color, changes form. Because there was something in there, in the body, that was giving everything else life. Now, you might not understand why I'm saying what I'm saying, but we'll get there. So, a person goes through a process. A person dies. It's not random. Even the process is not random. Everything has been orchestrated in a particular way to make sure that certain steps are taken, to make sure that certain things happen a particular way. When someone invites a person to a ministry to come and attend, it's easy for that person to say, I am attending because I was invited by my friend. And it can be true. You can actually attend because your friend invited you. But when you come and sit and your spirit connects with the anointing, it's not the friend that invited you. And nothing is random. Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordained by God. The day of your breakthrough, the only problem is that you can't perceive it. And because you can't perceive it, you think things happen suddenly. So you've had people say, oh my God, he just suddenly died. There are no suddenlies. There are no suddenlies. There is nothing, absolutely nothing random. Nothing. I'll give you an example. There's a time, one of the most powerful experiences I had in ministration. Years back, I wanted to prophesy to someone, but I was seeing nothing, I was feeling nothing. So I just randomly picked out someone. And when I randomly picked them out, I still wasn't seeing, feeling, hearing, nothing. So I spoke three things. And the person had them on a point of contact. Nothing is random. Now, there are no coincidences. There's no, oh, I just happened. I missed my flight. They denied me a visa. Nothing, absolutely nothing is random. Everything has its origin. Everything is playing a role to try to influence the outcome. You can be the only one who knows absolutely. No, you have no clue why something is occurring the way it is. Praise the Lord. Now, Ecclesiastes 1 verse 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 9. That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. So the first thing I told you is that nothing is random. Your friends, the ministry you are drawn to, your current situation, and it can be changed. Things are not changed by randomness. Okay? Even coming in fellowship and sleeping or texting on your phone and missing 70% of what I'm saying, yeah, is not random. There's a lot about your life that you think you control. Now, I'm going to show you later that indeed there's a control aspect that I want to point out. But first, let's go to Ecclesiastes 1:9. So, number one, nothing is random. Number two, this world is late L-A-T-E. It is late. The world above, the spirit world, it is earlier in function than this world. When God created Adam, he first created him in the spirit. Adam was already created before he was created. Jesus already died before he died. Revelation 13:8. The Lamb slain before the foundations of the earth. Okay? Things first finish before they manifest here. That's why this scripture here can be seen in two ways. The first way is that on earth, there is nothing new. Things just repeat themselves. The higher way to look at it is that that which has been in the spirit is that which will be on the earth. You get what I'm saying? That which is done, is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun, meaning that when something comes in the realm of time, it is not new. No one can randomly do something on earth that heaven says, now where has that come from? It is not there. No one born randomly. No one, finding themselves in a particular situation randomly. The Bible says, in the volume of the book it is written, Hebrews chapter 7, that was of Jesus, chapter 10 verse 7, that was of Jesus. Take me there, Hebrews 10 verse 7. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written on me, to do your will, O God. So no one comes just to do things. They follow a volume of a book. That's why I said that one of the elements that shaped you is word. What keeps the body, soul, spirit, and life functioning in you is the combination of the word that was spoken, let there be. It keeps everything working, keeps it in check. Okay? There are various books here, various. The place you were born, the day your parents meticulously chosen. And we know that in scripture because first it happened of Jesus, to the extent that when a man wants to divorce the woman, heaven has to intervene. Why? Because the parents are not random. There is something in them that would be able to contribute to the output. And we see the pattern of it, because someone might say, Jesus, that's Jesus. We see the pattern of it in John the Baptist. We see the pattern of it in Samson. We see the pattern of it in Moses. Parents are not randomly. And everything is happening as a result of something that already happened. Now, if that is true, and it is, that means anyone who has the capacity to tap into the secrets and the mysteries of heaven can be able to respond before time. Now, it seems I've caught people today. Huh? You can be able to respond before time. And this is the reason why we emphasize that you can't just live by your five senses. There is a world that has headlines before headlines. And not just headlines on a national, international scale, about you. Imagine looking in the spirit and seeing cancer before it comes. It's for this reason the Bible then says, we are not ignorant of the devil's ignorance. Comes by a man strictly living in the realm of time where everything is just surprising him. Huh? Imagine applying for a job when you saw it long ago. Imagine the posture, how you would enter that interview room. Imagine seeing the answers to papers long before. Imagine walking up to a lady knowing long before. She can't say no. And now look at them. Praise the Lord. Things are already finished in that realm. And so a person sees it before. That's why with something like death, the Bible gives us connotations of men who are spiritual, that had the ability to know when death was coming. And so Jacob says, I'm about to die, sons, come. Jesus says, I came to die. The Son of Man came to die. Knows his assignment long before he starts actually functioning. And you see, throughout the Bible, men knew when their time was coming. Meanwhile, you jump on a border worried. Border borders are dangerous. And indeed, they are. To the man stuck in the realm of time. Praise the Lord. I'm going to show you briefly how important it is for you to tap into that level of foreknowledge. Because you see, witches, wizards, warlocks have found advantages in the spirit. And they scare a lot of children of God because they notice that the people who have the mighty power behind them, the Spirit of God, are totally clueless of what they can do, how they can do it, and how they can see something before it shows up. And so they enter the spirit realm. And you see a witch comfortable in staying in her heart because he who can control the material that creates the physical does not need the physical. Where someone steals your phone and it finds its way back to you. And I'm telling you, we sit as men of God and guys have testimonies. Person says, I was somewhere and some guy decided to grab my phone. Take. Next thing, sir, where are you? I need to return your phone. And you see, we're used to hearing that stuff on the dark side. May you wake up. Huh? Remember one time when I told you that do not be deceived. When someone takes something from you without your permission, that's not the only thing they take. That's why even thieves have to be careful who they steal from. Though there are some thieves who are random, those are the ones that are hit. And I told you that someone can steal something and steal with it someone's problem. I am telling you. And they take a phone and they take barrenness. And then all of us, Rabbi, I would like to testify. Take it. Meanwhile, they're saying they're taking my phone, the phone. No one just takes a physical. In the same way, if someone gives you something physically, it's not the only thing you receive. That's why who gives you is important. The ability to see something long before it happens in the physical. That which has been is that which shall be. There is nothing new under the sun. The next thing I want you to understand is that the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10, Philippians 2 verse 10, it talks about three realms. It talks about the realm of heaven, the realm of earth, and the realm of under the earth. It says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of those in heaven, those on earth, and of those under the earth. Now, there are three major realms that are mentioned in this scripture. And what it's saying here is that each realm has inhabitants. Otherwise, how will knees? And the next verse says, every tongue. Okay? Go on, verse 11. Every tongue should confess. So, even in that realm, beings have the ability to confess. Both in that realm, on this earthly domain, and in the domain down under. Now, the lie people have, or the church has given itself, is that the enemy controls hell. He does not. The Bible says Jesus took the keys. Yeah. Even his home, he doesn't control it. Took them, went down there, preached to the spirits, and has keys. That's one. And I showed you in Revelation that there's actually an angel in charge of the bottomless pit, an angel of God. So if that is true, if the enemy does not control even his own world, there is nothing he truly. Now I'm getting somewhere. I'm getting somewhere. There's nothing he truly controls. He can influence things, but he's never completely in control. God controls every. He's in control of your situation, your luck, your current. I'm telling you, and the consciousness that what I'm in now, it seems like I'm out of control, like I can't control it. But I also know that the enemy does not have control of this situation. We don't just randomly say God is in control. It is scripture. David said, even though I make a bed in the depth of hell, even there you are. Now, I want you to think about, they brought to me someone the other day. Yesterday, they brought me someone who they had practiced witchcraft on, and it had been 1 year and a half. And imagine it was over something like a job. Now, a job. Now, they bring this person, and this, the competitor, the workmate, had placed something on her that she would constantly feel as if cockroaches and insects were walking on her. For 1 year and a half. In fact, when I was meeting, she was constantly, I need help. Huh? Imagine sleeping in the night. 1 year and a half. Constantly. And I could tell from that state, the reason I brought that up, because I could tell that she was in that place of, I'm lost, I need help, I've tried. And I tried my best not to smile, even in the circumstances. Because God is in. Never, never, ever accept that you're in a place that is out of the control of God. And it's a simple thing. You think is you need to consciously take it. My boss wants to do what? Lord. You're in control. And you see, the thing is, one time I taught you a principle that when you involve God in something from the very beginning, he doesn't need your permission to come to intervene. If you involve him in a marriage before, he intervenes. Now, yeah, you first get married, then remember God as things are going on. Eh? Then you have to marry of God, what? Then we have to, the Lord, but I'm a Christian, I need the Lord to intervene. Learn a principle. Lord, this is my first day at the job. Whatever my hands find to do, may I do it unto you. And you see, the thing is, you have involved him from the foundation. Let anyone dare touch you. And I'm telling you this, these principles seem simple, but we tend to forget them. So, you will go, you receive a prophecy, you're supposed to go into mining. You say, hallelujah, you go into mining. For some people, they never even reach the stage of actually mining. Then there are others who, by the grace of God, go in, they start mining gold or whatever, and then somewhere around there, baba! Receiving a prophecy does not necessarily mean that you've involved God from the beginning. It's why one time I told you that your house, because you're a Christian, does not mean you've invited God. Father, if you need to invite Jesus into your heart, what about your house? Now, I'm trying to tell you, I'm trying to tell you things that are very simple, but they insulate your life. Do you know that you can do something for God and not involve Him? Father, I'm starting, I'm doing, me, I'm called, I'm apostle this, I'm called to ministry. So you start putting up the things, you do things. Meanwhile, you're doing them, yes. He's of the Lord. But you're not involved in you. You see, this thing is a partnership. Amen. I learned long ago, and it has become a habit. Anything I receive, I stop to say, thank you. No matter who, I can't even forget to say thank you to you. I'm telling you, it developed over the years. I'm always conscious, every good and perfect gift. I'm telling you. And so I learned constantly to be conscious of that. There is nothing random. Things happen first in the spirit before they happen in the natural. And God is in control of every single circumstance. Now, what I've told you is so important. Because you see, in order to be able to know something before it shows up in the physical, you must have the habit. Do you want to? And you know these things are simple, eh? You see, let me look, there's a scripture. Hold on. John chapter 1 verse 21 to 23. Okay, we're going to get to that. If you want to be able to know the before the real thing happens, you must understand very simply how God speaks. Now, you've heard this over and over. For some of you have been in church long enough. There are various ways God speaks. Signs, He can speak through people. There are many ways. The lowest level in which God will communicate to you about something in the natural realm that is about to happen is through dreaming. Dreaming is the lowest level. It's the lowest. Why? Because finally you've shut up and you're not in control of your facets. Finally, the mind was thinking about this chick, that job, that what, that. Just go to sleep. Go to sleep. And usually what happens is that the Lord will use the dream world, because every other sign has failed to reach you. That's why I say it's the lowest. Okay? Now, what I'm telling you is important. Not all dreams are spiritual, as you know, but there are dreams you will have in the spirit as you go to sleep. Because I told you there are three realms. There's the heaven realm, the earth realm, and the world down under. And even in those three realms, there are different realms. So on earth, for example, there are kingdoms. All right? In the spirit world, there are realms. In the heavenlies, there are realms. Some demonic. All right? Then there's the underworld, and even there are realms. Now, the dream world can connect to either realm, the heavenly or the demonic. All right? That means the enemy can give you a false dream and God can give you a sign. Now, what will happen is that the Lord, you know, I've had people come to me and say, Rabbi, I had a dream and the devil was attacking me in the dream. Usually, that dream or such dreams, and I'm just using that example, such dreams do not mean that the enemy is about to attack you. What they imply is that something is already taking place on earth. Why? Because the thing that you're seeing happened long ago. I don't know if you understand it, because it happens in the spirit before it happens in the natural. So you don't see it in the spirit and conclude it's coming. You see it in the spirit and you conclude it's here. The plan is here. It's in motion. Am I helping somebody? So what will happen is, even the dream realm, God controls it. There is nothing out of his control. So you go to sleep, and in that dream realm, now, he will send you, for example, a dream like that. And you wake up in the morning. What people will do now is they rebuke the dream. But you're rebuking something that is already, I don't know. So you're supposed to rebuke the circumstance. You said, devil, you've set something in motion. I close it in the name of Jesus here. Meanwhile, you're trying to close a dream. Children of God, in the same way, you can receive something in a dream. Like you see yourself married. And you're walking down with Mr. down the aisle. Then you're on that part where they throw the bouquet. And say, so Rabbi, I had a dream that I'm going to get married. Going to. Then, you know, where things have been set in motion, it is not going to. You know, there are levels of dreaming. There is the dreaming, which everyone, if you don't dream, and I need to say this, if you don't dream, a major part of how God speaks to you has been cut off. And you need to get it back. Because if you don't read these signs, you are at a serious disadvantage. Because even when you go to sleep and you've shut up, finally, there's just darkness. Not your portion. So, second, that's one. Two, forgetting dreams. Now, I know many of you fall in that category. And there are various reasons. Today, I'm not ministering on dreams, but there are various reasons for that. So I told you there are levels. There's dreaming. Everyone falls in that category. A large percentage of people dream. Then there is graduating to the interpretation of dreams, which is a different thing. Now, listen to me, child of God. Every dream is interpreted. Every single dream. Even the ones that seem clear, they're clear because you've interpreted them. It is clear because it has come in a language that you can interpret. Every dream is interpreted. Every dream. The things that are not interpreted are visions, open visions. Because those ones, they come clearly, they're very open. An angel has come, is no need to interpret. But dreams, as long as it falls in the realm of dreams, it is interpreted. So you graduate from that level of interpreting dreams, then you go to a higher level that the Bible refers to as being a dreamer of dreams. A dreamer of dreams is a person. You see, in the book of Joel, it says, in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. It says, your young men shall see visions. It says, your old men shall dream dreams. That's not the same thing as dreaming. And when it's referring to young and old, it's referring to ranks in the spirit. So when a person falls asleep, a dreamer of dreams is a person, when they're going to sleep, they say, okay, now I need a solution for this. And so they dream a dream. Huh? Am I boring you? They dream a dream. That facet of the ability to dream a dream is so potent. The Bible says that when they wanted to kill the magicians because they failed to interpret Nebuchadnezzar's dream, when he wanted them killed, Daniel said, give me a few days. He goes and the Bible says, he prayed, oh Lord, you're the God who reveals mysteries. Then he goes to sleep. The answer comes in a dream, but he was not dreaming. He dreamt a dream. Now, how did he dream a dream? He learned the art of initiating the thing that you want in a dream. And it's a very simple principle. You know when you forget a dream and you say, Lord, I'm telling some of you, Lord, you reveal secrets and mysteries. You know my tomorrow. You know my past. You know my current situation. You know the things that are going around that I don't know. Father, I yield my spirit to you tonight. And you know, it sounds very simple. There are prophecies I have picked by doing that. So, you see, we don't allow things. Nothing is just random. Nothing is just random. Now, I've touched that, and I'm sorry because I have to touch one more thing, then we close. Eh? Because nothing is random, who you are is not random. Now, your life is drawn, the circumstances of your life are drawn from how much of yourself you know. The less you know about yourself, the more other forces can manipulate your environment. The more you know, the harder it is for the enemy. It's why I told you some time back that when the enemy came and was tempting Jesus, he asked the question, are you the Son of God? The entire temptation is an identity issue. Does this guy know who he is? Because if he does, I can't win. But if he doesn't, now, it's important you understand that your identity and who you are in the spirit can also determine the types of dreams that you have. Imagine if you know, for example, that your name is Keith, like Keith, and you say, a man of wealth, and every night you condition yourself to go to sleep conscious of that identity, your dreams take shape with what you've set yourself on. Now, let me tell you a deep secret. It's a powerful truth. One of the ways to walk into something spirit is to learn to speak to yourself. And it is scripture. I haven't even said speak to God. In the natural, the world does it. So someone, a sports guy, is about to start running a race. Say, you can do it. You can do it. You see Usain Bolt doing that lightning, whatever, eh? He can do it. And he's speaking to himself. In the natural realm, someone has learned the art of just motivating himself from that level. And it can push you forward. Now I'm talking from a spiritual perspective. Psalms 103 verse 1. Give it to me. We're going to read from verse 1 onward. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is not a prayer. David is speaking to himself. He says, and all that is within me. That means whether I'm of the lineage of Elisha, if I don't know, all that is within me, bless him. And you see, saying, bless his holy name. The entire chapter is talking to himself. Psalms 23 is not a prayer. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. He's talking to himself. And as he talks to himself, the life, you see, the thing is that, like here when he says, bless the Lord, O my soul. If man is not a body and is a spirit, and something is speaking to the soul, what is speaking to the soul? Because he says, bless the Lord, my soul. That means it's not the soul speaking. Aye, aye, aye. Are you with me? It is the spirit of the man affecting the soul. And that's how renewing a mind can happen. You see, you can prophesy. You can see in the spirit. When you go to sleep at night, oh my soul, you don't forget. And you see, you're shaping your inner man. And I'm telling you, it is true. It takes place. It shapes yourself. You become what you have said. Amen. Huh? Very, very, very powerful. And you see, we have learned. I used to tell myself, back those days, before I could even see a fly in someone's life. And I remember I used to tell myself, if my neighbor can do it, at that time I had friends who could, I said, I can do it. And before I would come for fellowship, I'd say, I can see. Who am I seeing? You're seeing people. You see, I'm seeing. I said, but I will not get it wrong. You hear me? I will not get it wrong. And that day I got it right the first time. I said, watch out. Was it Bungu? Speak to yourself. You see, there are various identities that are built in men. There's an identity that is factual. You think you know yourself, and people think they know you. That's the problem. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 2. Quick, I'm about to wind up. 1 Corinthians 8 verse 2. If anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know it. And this is the key to actually spiritual growth, that at every level you must agree that there's a level above it. Otherwise, you will never spiritually grow. I'm telling you. Now, even you who you think you know, you don't. And all those chaps who think they know you, they don't what? I said, hey, Rabbi, I went to school with him. You mean he's now preaching? He's ministering. Hey, I know that guy. You can know someone factually. It happened in scripture where the Bible says in the book of Matthew, we don't go there. It says that they said of Jesus, isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't this the carpenter? Is it his father Joseph? His brother? That's facts. And through those facts, you think you know. But you do not. You can know someone factually. You can know someone experientially. In 1 John chapter 1 verse 1. Take me there. 1 John 1 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. This is experiential. You've walked with Jesus. You've touched it. You know. Do you know that once you've eaten Black Forest, no one can convince you Black Forest doesn't exist. It's the person who's living on third party who can be convinced that Black Forest doesn't what? This is the importance of experiential knowledge. Okay? Someone can know you factually, someone can know you experientially, someone can know you impersonally, in an impersonal way. And that's usually through third party. So imagine, and this happens a lot, a person, say, will see me on YouTube and will come into contact with someone who knows me and ask that person about me and then conclude they know me. And I know many of you where a third party has told someone something about you and they conclude is a mumanyi. I know that person. Someone told me this. Me, I know them. Imagine if someone had met Judas and asked him what Jesus is about, he would have said money. And your conclusion is that the guy is a disciple. And if he has said that Jesus is about money, he must be about money. Because everyone sees and hears according to what their heart is attuned to. You never fully know someone. The final way that is important in how you should know yourself or how you can be known is revelation. Who do people say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Nothing in the physical has been involved in it. It just comes. And so an anointing can look very casual in the physical. But if you don't have a revelation of it, that's how familiarity takes place. I mean, if you meet me just no more chill, I can dance when Man United scores. My wife has seen another side of me, and when they lose, says, man of God. And I realized I had put so much of my emotion in this thing, it's very hard for me to withdraw. There are days I go 1-2 days without watching, then I just look at live scores. And so there's that side. But if you saw that side of me, it's very easy for you to presume that I'm just your regular chap. And maybe I am, depending on how you receive. But I can be there just sitting there and say, hey, look at you. Hey, we dance. Hey, then one moment I turn. The Spirit of the Lord says. And like, hey, attention, Ochichi. I'm telling you, some of these men and these women of God that you think, you know, when you get closer, you can even be stumbled. Because you're so naturally oriented and you forget that there is a revelation, a higher revelation behind a person. I want to end this. John chapter 1 verse 21. One of my favorite scriptures on this. And they asked John, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. Now, Matthew 11, 14. And I've touched this. We're going to come back to this. Matthew 11, 14. Quick. And if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. So Jesus says John is Elijah. John says he is not Elijah. Then take me back. John chapter 1 verse 22. Then they said to him, who are you? That we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? This is the question of the day. What do you say about yourself? The name Daniel, if it was not spiritually chosen, I leave it here. And even then, there's a new name. You don't know yourself yet. There are three categories. You can know yourself, you can totally be clueless about yourself. Then you can know yourself partially. Then you can know yourself fully. You can know yourself fully. Then shall we know, even as we are known. You know yourself fully. You know, in the spirit, Elijah flows through me. Paul knew beforehand, the Bible says, you shall suffer much when Jesus appeared for my sake. Guy said, if I'm going to suffer much, let me not get married. Should I say this? And let me I was going to say something, but it would get me in trouble. So let me leave it. Anyway, so he knew a certain portion of his identity and what he was going to go through. So it determined the decision. It's not like this random stuff of, nah, me, I'm tired of men. Me, I'm tired. My heart is broken. I am tired of child. The circumstance is determining your posture. No, where you've seen in the spirit your identity. And you say, if my wife is a football supporter, it will hinder my destiny. So for every date, you're like, what team do you support? I don't like football. You're in line. So John here, he said, what do you say about yourself, Maria? This is the place where I was telling you. You speak to yourself. You get a scripture. And you say, when you walk, people see you. Huh? People come to me for solutions. And you see, what happens is that you start seeing people coming to you for solutions you even don't know how to provide. There's a friend of mine called Kenneth. I've told this story before. It stuck in my life. Kenneth used to say, I can heal, I can what? At a certain church somewhere there. And one day, a family brought him a lame man. Kenneth looked for the reverend, and that day the reverend was not around. So my friend Kenneth, then, as the family was sitting there, they came to him and told him, we heard that you can heal. Please heal our son. Kenneth, having looked for everyone he can, decided, let's just pray and believe on God. So they held hands. And they sang songs, and they sang because he believed that at a certain point maybe a reverend or someone would show up. And Kenneth sang. And yeah, hey, you know, fire, 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 follow me. He sang. Then in the end, the family continued to sing with him, and Kenneth said, let's believe for this boy to get up. And he got up. Now, when he got up, the family praised God. And Kenneth asked, how? And I know many of you, you're saying you believe the Bible. The day you lay hands on a blind man and you see scales falling, you believe. I believe. Help my unbelief. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So that day he was like, can you imagine? I've actually done, but I thought you used to tell us that you heal people. I saw you, have you been okay? So, what do you say about yourself? Now, here's the thing about Elijah, is that verse 23. I have to wind up. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. If I asked you what you say about yourself, many of you say, may I come from, my mother is from here, I was born here. John had a factual identity that I explained. His father was Zacharias. His mother was Elizabeth. They were Levites. He was supposed to be a priest. When they ask him, who are you? He kicks out fact. And goes straight to spirit and says, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Now, he picks this from Isaiah 40 verse 3. Here's an important point. Your spiritual identity is determined by who you read, who you listen to, and who tells you about you. He had read Isaiah. And reading through it, said, this is me. A voice. But also what you don't read can affect you. Because he never read Malachi 4:5. I will send Elijah. So he says, no, I'm not Elijah. But a higher ranked person says, actually, he is. You can know yourself partially. and you think you know yourself. You're more than just an actress, more than just a singer, more than just a lawyer. There is a spiritual identity. I told my partners on Sunday that if you ever want to walk into something in the Bible, the first level is the sure word of prophecy. It is sure. You pick a scripture and you pick a character. And I explained that a man like Prophet Elvis, his life is patterned after the Elisha. So you will see the element of call for me a minstrel and I will prophesy. And you see worship is very crucial to his prophesying. Notice whenever fellowship is ending, about to end, he says, sing a song. You might as well just, you know, you're a prophet, you might as well. And it's in Elisha to flow with worship. But it's also in Elisha to see into the secrets of governments. Are you with me? It is in Elisha. Now, it is also in, and you see, it is also in Elisha to say tomorrow by this time. Now, I'm trying to show you that someone has embodied the life of a spirit that existed. And you can go to the Bible and say, Kati, Esther. Esther. And you say, seasons shall be my portion. Amen. Why? Because it says of Esther, who knows if God has chosen you for a time such as this. Say, I shall know times. I shall not miss my seasons. Favor shall be my portion. When I go before a king, everyone else fades. Let every other name fade away. You know, you determine your identity. You picked it and say, and you see how powerful scripture is. You pick something, and the more you speak to yourself of it, the life just shapes it. It attracts that anointing. Very, very, very important. Very important. One of the things, I really have to close now. One of the things was, I love the book of Daniel. And one time I walked to my mom and I told her, you named me right. And one of the facets that I love is dreams. So when I went to Daniel and he said, give me some time, I will seek this interpretation, the way I spent time on that verse. Huh? Lord, you are the revealer of secrets. And then you start dreaming dreams. Praise the living God. Praise the Lord. Have you learned something? Huh? You're more powerful than what you know. And every battle around you is just linked to your identity. Huh? It's like at some point, when I was dreaming last night, I saw someone walk into the room, and at the back of their shirt was written, black gold. And I knew that they're in this room. Put up your hand. Put up your hand. Black gold. Otherwise, I'll walk up to you in the spirit. Machete kerebo sondanabas. He's in this room. Stand up. No. Huh? Huh? Yeah, I'm not saying it's written on your back. Eh? I'm saying it was a sign. Eh? Yeah. But that's what you call yourself. Eh? Okay. Now. I can wake up and say, today I want to pick out 6 people. And I go back. You are joking. Dreaming dreams. Praise the Lord.